Come on. Come on. Rabbly gabbly bad. It's Bob Seger. Got WNBT, Wellsboro's home for what? I don't know. Classic rock, vintage rock. WNBT, Wellsboro. You know my name on WNBT in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, which was an FM signal on 104.5, was Tim O'Connor. Like Carol O'Connor. That's exactly where I took it from. When I wasn't using Tim Michaels, which is what I use in college for some stupid reason. Instead of just using my own name, which is Tim Andrews, so it's nice to be here. I'm not hosting a radio show. This is the audio only trambles that I do each and every week. A very narrow casted type of show, by the way. Done specifically for myself and for people that are so close, that I hold dear, that I hold dear to me. Whether you like it or not, number one, I'm going to be working on some voices today, by the way, and you're just going to have to bear with me. I'm going to be working on my Dusty Slay impression and other types of things like character voices. I did some character voices on the Popcast, which is my, you can get that podcast, by the way, in a little bit. It's called The Popcast with Tim Andrews, and it's a radio show that I do every Saturday on WSB. Sometimes it's at 7, which is its natural time slot, but sometimes there's college basketball, which means it's on at 10 p.m., but there's always a podcast. And then, excuse me, and then during the football season, there certainly is a challenge at getting that out, but at least this last season I did podcasts only a couple of times. Geez, so where to begin? So congratulations to the Super Bowl winners and to the lovely couple who showed everyone how much in love they are after the game. And I like that one ad. There, we got it all taken care of. Hey, I'm 53 years old. I thought I'd let you know that. I'm 53, and I feel sometimes in my brain I'm 22, and sometimes, depending on the situation, I feel like I'm 14. And other times, like when I go to the bathroom or when I'm lifting up my almost three-year-old son, I feel all of 53 going on 948,000. But the reason I bring that up is because I've been a talk show, radio talk shows for the most part, anything audio talk show-wise. I've been listening to talk radio since I was a child. I remember my dad would drive around at night and he would listen to a talk show guy, but it wasn't political. It was back in the 70s and 80s, there were a lot less political stuff on the radio. There was a lot less as far as talk goes. And I think AM was still playing, jamming, you know, top 40 music or playing oldies music, but really didn't have a lot of talk. So this guy was on overnight. So I think his name was Jim Bohannon. That was his name. He had a great voice. And he gave advice, and he talked about this and that, and it's stuff my dad listened to. Also, you know, when your parents are divorced and they don't live in the same town, you know, it's a small town or they're 30, 40 miles away, my dad would come and get me every single weekend, pick me up on a Saturday morning, and bring me home on a Sunday afternoon. Now, a lot of times on those Sunday afternoons, there was an AM station in Elmira, New York, that used to play polka music. And it was this Polish heritage dude that hosted a show in the afternoons. It was live, and he would get letters from people, and then he would read these dedications, and they play the polka music. I think the reason my dad liked it, not so much for the music, but because of the community and because the guy who hosted the show, and I don't remember. It might have been WELM. I don't know. I don't remember. But my dad would play this, and I hated the music so much, but I did like to hear the guy talk. The guy had a great voice, and he would talk about, you know, this so-and-so and this so-and-so, and he had that Elmira, New York accent, which is sometimes tough for me to recreate without sounding like I'm from the Midwest. And, you know, to give you a little sample of that, there was a guy who did commercials in my hometown. Mansfield, PA is where I spent most of my time, but I was born in Elmira, New York, and spent time there back and forth. All this. So I say I'm from Elmira, New York. It's next to Corning, New York, south of Ithaca, New York, and west of Binghamton, New York, and north of Mansfield, Pennsylvania, which is where I said I spent most of my time. But there was a car dealership Brown and Hauser. And the guy would come on, it's at Brown and Hauser, or it might have been a different one. But he would say, we're having a deal on Subarus, and don't bring very much money. There was always that huge pause. And don't bring very much money. Then there was a store that had a couple of locations in Elmira, New York, called Hesselson's. And there was an old man who would come up, don't miss now. We've poked your nose in the corners of two Hesselson's, one in Elmira Heights and one wherever the other one was. I think it was in Southport, but I don't remember. It's fun to poke in the corners of Hesselson's. And then he died or retired. Let's be nice. He retired, and then his son took over. Hesselson's was the name of this department store. And then there was a guy who sold furniture whose store was in between Elmira and Corning, New York, on this highway, Route 17. And his name was Ivar. And I've been looking forever to find one of these commercials. Somebody has an old VHS tape with these Ivar's commercials on them. I don't remember when it went out of business, and he may have passed away. It's a long time ago, but he sold furniture. And he'd come on, and we have rugs, and we have couches. And he would close every commercial with, Ivar's, east of Corning, west of the mall on Route 17. So that's that accent that I talked about last week. So overall, what I'm talking about is I'm this diehard old school talk radio listener. And in Atlanta, through all my years of living in the city, I would listen to WSB, which is where I work. Back in the day, I listened to WGST. When I got here, that was on two signals. It was on 640 AM. And 105.7 FM. When I started working for the company that owned that station, they flipped the 105.7 frequency from WGST to a station called The Mix, Mix 105.7. And that was an oldies rock station. And then they flipped it again, and then they flipped it again, and then they flipped it again. Really the most successful signal, a station on that signal, at least as far as I'm concerned, was WGST. And I listened to that every night because you could listen. Well, Kimmer was on in the afternoons, and he was funny. Still is funny. I just don't listen to him anymore. Probably because I'm at work. And then in the evening time, you started getting the Phil Hendry show. And then after Phil Hendry, you had Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. And if it wasn't Art Bell hosting it, I wasn't listening. And it's been a long time since Art Bell hosted that show, so I haven't listened to it in a long time. But Phil Hendry and Art Bell, entertaining talk radio. So every night I'd go to bed listening to Art Bell, falling asleep to Art Bell, which I occasionally still do. But you have to find those on Spotify or YouTube because he's gone. But anyway, that plays into the whole thing. Now, when it comes to WSB, outside of the show that I'm on and everything else throughout the day, The show that I find the coolest as far as listening to an old school type of talk show is Shelley Winter. He has great guests. He's a political person, but not all of his show is political. He talks about just general lifestyle things. And, you know, he plays music and he talks about topics that I find interesting. Now, he sometimes gets really heavy politically, but he's a smart guy. He's a talented guy. And most of all, he's entertaining when he speaks. Not talk radio, but sometimes I'll put it on the River, which is a sister station of ours. They're in the building, 97.1 The River. They play classic hits, and I love that because sometimes the appeal to me with as far as a music station that plays either oldies, which there aren't of in any of those anymore, traditional oldies, which oldies to my generation are 50s and 60s, a little early 70s sprinkled in. Those stations are gone, like Fox 97, which is now The River. But they play these classic hit songs from the 70s, 80s, and I don't know if they creep into the 90s yet, but they might. But the joy of a radio station for me that plays music is to put it on and just wait because you don't know what it's going to play. Now, if you listen to it more than 3 days, you've heard everything. And that's just the way radio is because that's the way radio is. Radio isn't something that you, okay, I'm going to go to this curated Spotify list that I've made and listen to these songs that I put in some sort of order. Radio is what it is. And back in the day, it was a guy who would, or a gal, who would take a record out and cue it up and talk it up and then play a bunch of songs and come back and tell you what the songs were. And they were always there and you could call, because I know this, I did call them with stupid questions. Hey, do you know the capital of Morocco or whatever? A lot of dumb questions did many DJs field for me, but they usually did, especially if it was music related. But anyway, my point about the river is they play every song they play, you know, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to like the song. You're going to sing along with it. And so when you're driving at night, that is my favorite time to listen to music radio. Driving at night when it's dark out and you can sort of feel that air. And you have to be a radio listener to understand that it's air. That signal is traveling through the air. Now, satellite signals and all that travels through the air, but this is a broadcast signal that can, if you're listening to AM and you go underneath an overpass, it's going to drop out. And it's just pumped out of this giant antenna. And it comes back down and travels through waves and this and that. That's always been the magic to me. And, of course, everything. You know, you have an iPhone in your hand. That's magic. That's magic. There's a satellite, a GPS satellite keeping track of where you are and all that jazz. And you can pretty much do anything you want with that little device. So it's very different from radio. But overall, that's the attraction I have. So to get back to my main point about listening to talk radio, these days I've noticed that I listen to podcasts way more than I watch TV, whether I'm watching these podcasts on YouTube or listening to them in my car. There's a couple of them that I really enjoy watching as opposed to listening to. So I have a hierarchy of podcasts, and I'll sort of kind of spell it out for you each and every week. Now, these are the podcasts that I don't miss. These are the ones I listen to every single week. Now, the first one is the Tim Dillon Show. Tim Dillon is a stand-up comedian, and he does, I think, the best monologues about current issues, and whether it's pop culture or politics or just social. He does the best job. He's funny. He's sarcastic. He relays them in a way that make them entertaining to listen to. He has a good producer slash sidekick in there that laughs. And he's really over the top and very enjoyable. So that's a must listen. The only time I'd ever really skip his show is when he has a guest on, because I just want to hear him do his thing. The next one is Harlan Williams has the Harlan Highway, which Jeff Leboff got me into. The Harlan Highway was the first one I ever listened to. Bill Burr was the guest, and it was so much fun that I started going back, and then I continued listening. So now I've listened to most of the older episodes, and I'm very much into it. Each and every week it comes out with a new episode, I listen or I watch, but more often than not, that's a show you can just listen to. The Dudesy podcast with Chad Kulchin and Will Sasso, which has been in the news because of the George Carlin stand-up, and then last year the Tom Brady stand-up. I think it's fantastic. I don't care if it's kayfabe, the wrestling term, or even though you know it's fake, you sell it as if it's real. I would say 80 to 90% of everything on that podcast is written by a human. The only thing the AI really does is generate a voice and some images, and it maybe it programs a show. I don't know. All I know is that I enjoy it, and I like the impressions that Will Sasso does, and I like the modern day thinking and futurist type of beliefs that Chad Kulchin holds, and plus he's very intelligent. And it's improvisational. Harlan is improvisational. So those two are my go-to comedy podcasts each and every week. As far as news and breaking down the news, I listen to No Agenda. And that's Adam Curry. And if you're not familiar with Adam Curry and you're our age, my age, just think about the guy with the big hair and the denim coat on MTV. That's Adam Curry. He's also known as the Podfather. He and John C. Dvorak have this podcast. John C. Dvorak is a tech blogger, or was. He hosted a lot of TV shows and web-based shows. Very intelligent. But what they do is they take a filter and they pour in all the news, and it comes out and they tell you what they think is bullshit, and they break it down and they say, hey, this is what the real story is, and so on and so forth. It's a fun show. And, if you're angry, if you're one of those people that used to just look at Twitter and get angry, back when it was Twitter, you look at it and get angry, or you look at the Drudge Report and you're obsessed and you're refreshing and you're thinking about this and you're thinking about that, and what does this all mean, and what is this and what is that, and why? You don't have to do that. The doom scrolling can be a thing of the past. Just listen to No Agenda twice a week, new episodes on Thursdays and Sundays. And they break it all down. You don't have to worry about it. It's helped me a great deal. And plus, they are funny also. And they take very good care of their listeners, because what they do is a value for value. There's no ads. They don't have a Patreon. They just ask you to donate and become a subscriber and a producer. They read your name and you get to ask for sound bites and sound clips. They make it a real fun. They make it fun to be a listener and a supporter of theirs. And people, you'll just have to check it out for yourself. So that's a lot of listening. So if I'm walking or in the car or I'm at home, those are the shows I listen to. Now, guest dependent or no guest, this is the second level of the hierarchy for podcasts for me, is this past weekend with Theo Von. Theo Von, very good solo when he's by himself. He's very good at telling little stories and being funny. I believe he got famous on Road Rules, I think. That old MTV show, Road Rules, a stand-up comic, and he fell into the podcast universe, and he does a great show, and interesting guests from RFK Jr., a bunch of his comedian friends. I think he comes out of that Rogan sphere, which brings me to Joe Rogan. A stand-up comedian, an actor, and all that. Prior to being one of the early podcast guys, I listened to his show. But that is guest-dependent, absolutely guest-dependent. If it's some guy with interesting stories about, Graham Hancock is interesting because he talks alternative history and things of that nature, I enjoy it. I enjoy it quite a bit. And then it just kind of cascades after. Oh, the new weekly one. This is an episodic breakdown. Just to go back to the top, that every week I'm listening to this show is The History of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Susie Essman and Jeff Garlin. They are two episodes in from season one. They do the pilot and they do episode two, the one where we are introduced to Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen. They talk about the episodes, and I think they started recording it in conjunction with filming the final season of Curb, which is airing right now. So that's good. And then there's just various podcasts. I haven't listened to this in a while. I'm going to check it out. I haven't listened to that one in a while. I'm going to check it out. For a while, I got into Your Mother's House or whatever it's called. Yeah, Your Mother's House or Two Bears, One Cave. But I feel like I can get what they have to offer in a different show where I'm more engaged with them, if that makes any sense. Those guys are both great. Bert Kreischer's funny, tells the best stories. Tom Segura, very funny stand-up comedian, I would say, up there in Louis C.K. land as far as being funny and telling funny jokes. But I don't know, I got a little too much into them. And occasionally I listen to Bill Burr. So what I'm saying is I gave you my top and then the next level. So my overall, I guess, point in this part of Trambles is to, I don't really watch a lot of TV anymore. And when I do watch TV, I'm watching something more often than not that I've already seen. These past couple of weeks, I've been watching True Detective, I believe season 4, because I think it's amazing. I think Jodie Foster is the star. She's great. Anything she does, even if you're not interested in the overall film, she's just a great actress. And fun and funny and talented. But that's really the only show I'm watching right now. There's a bunch of shows I'm way behind on. Because when the TV's on in our house, it's children's programming. I refuse to watch anything that's violent or sexual or has an awful lot of curse words in it, because I don't want my son to hear that all the time or pick that up. I don't swear around him. You know, accidentally I'll say Jesus Christ or something like that when I drop something. But more often than not, I'll catch myself. I'll say Jeepers, Creepers or something like that. I shouldn't be taking the Lord's name in vain anyhow. It's not nice to take the Lord's name in vain. Don't you know? It's not nice. I mean, it's right there in the Ten Commandments. Don't swear. Don't say God's name in vain. And, you know, don't curse. Don't curse. Don't say, you know, things about Jesus or God or any of the gods. I suppose you could say Thor, damn it. Or Odin, damn it all. But that would sound stupid, because no one knows who those are outside of the Marvel Universe. Osiris, it all. Amon-Ra it all, Bale it all. Oh, did I say congratulations to the Super Bowl team that won the Super Bowl, and also that my favorite commercial was one that aired during the Super Bowl? There you go. So my overall point is, if you're listening to Radio Labyrinth, you've noticed that I don't really watch anything, but I'm glad everybody else does so we can still talk about it. And occasionally I'll drift back into it. Speaking of Radio Labyrinth, my partner in crime, lifelong buddy, best pal, he and I went down to Atlanta Comic Con at the Georgia World Congress Center. One, you know, we talked about that on the show. It's a traveling exposition that shows up at this big big convention hall, which is, of course, what the Georgia World Congress Center is. And just a gigantic, huge room, among others. But this one's filled with merchandise that you can buy, and vendors, people selling pop culture-related things, and then just tons of famous people, big-name people. And the one that really blew my mind was Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin was at a convention. I think of Alec Baldwin as, you know, big-time actor, TV, film, Saturday Night Live, but just a serious actor, a type of guy that I wouldn't expect to see at a convention because he wasn't in any kind of television show that would warrant that kind of thing, like an ensemble cast. Are there conventions for sitcoms because he was great on 30 Rock? I guess maybe it's the Beetlejuice connection. The Beetlejuice film, not Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern show. I don't know. But anyway, he was there, and I didn't see that his line was all that large. He was charging $120 for an autograph, $100 for a selfie, and combined $200 to get both. So he knocked 20 whole dollars off. And then there was this little menu. If you wanted him to write a line from one of his films, it was another $40. So if you went up and you were giving him $120 to sign a picture from 30 Rock, or how about this, from Glengarry Glen Ross, if he were to write, "Put that coffee down," that's an extra $40. So it's $160 to get a picture with a signed photo of Alec Baldwin personalized to you. "Tim, put that coffee down. Coffee is for closers," which would probably be another $40 because those are two different lines. So I think that's too expensive. I get it. He's got legal bills, legal troubles, which, by the way, I don't think he should go to jail. I don't think it's his fault. I think he's an actor. And you expect when you're an actor that a prop person hands you something that you need to use, that it's not going to shoot and kill the person in front of you. I really don't think that he's responsible. I get that the family needs some compensation for what happened to their family member. It's terrible what happened. It's a horrible tragedy. But I don't see how you can charge people that much money for an autograph. Randy Quaid was another big-time actor there. I guess he's done with the being a political commentator. I don't know. I don't follow him on social media. Maybe he stopped doing that. He doesn't have the beard anymore. He's not living in another country hiding from the star whackers. He looks like Randy Quaid again with the hair and, you know, just a little bit older. He was charging $100. I would have liked to have met him, actually. But I'm not paying $100 for an autograph. I'm just not. I mean, it's extravagant. If you have the money for it, I guess. If you have disposable income, that's what those things are. If you have some sort of extra cash laying around and you don't have a child and you don't own a home, or if you own a home but you have a good job, but if you're lower middle class or middle class, and why are you wasting money getting an autograph that costs $120? I don't know. I spent $50 on an autograph, and it was a specific person because I liked the show that she was on. Mary McDonnell from, well, lots of things. She's in tons of TV shows. Started out as a soap opera actress. She's in Dances with Wolves, which I think is the first time I ever saw her. Stands with a Fist. She, you know, Dustin Hoffman. See, I was thinking, when I was pulling in earlier, I was thinking about Little Big Man, which my favorite Dustin Hoffman film, if not one of my favorite movies of all time. Dances with Wolves with Kevin Costner. She's in that. But she's President Rosalyn on Battlestar Galactica, the 2000s version, which is vastly superior to the 1978 series that was on ABC, Glenn Larson show. It was a great show for the time. But I can't watch it now and think, wow, this is as in-depth and story-driven as Battlestar Galactica. Four great seasons on Sci-Fi. And a show that I have done a couple of watch-throughs, but anytime I think about doing another one, it's very much an investment because it's so emotional. Anyway, I have a lot of autographs. I have Michael Hogan, Aaron, I forget his name, Douglas maybe. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was chief on that show. Katie Sackhoff, who was Starbuck. I have a bunch of them. Richard Hatch, who was in both series. He played Apollo, Adama's son, in the 78, Lauren Green one. And then he was a prisoner who was let out and actually became vice president. Tom was his first name. And I forget the last name, but I waited a while for Mary to show up. And I got right up there in line. I was the first one when she came back from panel or lunch or whatever. And she was such a sweet person. She asked me what I did for a living. She asked me, you know, questions about myself. I told her I was on the radio and I do voices and stuff. And she said, "Oh, do a voice for me." So I did Donald Trump talking about the lore. The 12 planets, you know, look, we're going to try to find Kobol, okay? Because Kobol will point the direction to Earth, and some people are Cylons, and you don't know which ones are the robots and things like that. And, I mean, who cares? We blew up Scorpion. Who cares? Who cares, right? Scorpio, Scorpion, whatever. And she laughed, and then she said, "Who else do you do that's not alive anymore, celebrity?" And so I did James Mason for her and asked her if she had ever seen the film Salem's Lot, where he... we'll move ashtrays back and forth. And she laughed at that, too. And she told me to say hi to my stepmom because I told her that my stepmom was a fan of Dances with Wolves. And she was very sweet and very nice. Who did Jeff meet? Jeff met Garrett Dillahunt. Garrett Dillahunt from Lots and Lots of Things, that awful Terminator series. He was in Fear the Walking Dead. He played two characters in Deadwood. And Jeff went over and met him and got his autograph. And another guy from Deadwood, Timothy Omnidson, who was also on Psych. So Jeff did that. I think he went to a panel. I came home. I went around and took a bunch of pictures. Poor Henry Thomas, who played Elliot in E.T., no line. Meanwhile, Robert Englund, who goes to every convention, huge line. Freddy Krueger. Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, huge line. All the Walking Dead people, huge lines. Cooper Andrews, huge lines. So it was fun. It's cool. I like to go to those things and check people out. I really like Dragon Con the best. Even though it's a lot of walking and it's hot and it's downtown and it's crowded, I love the spatial ability or the spatialness, the spatial feel that you get with... a convention like Atlanta Comic Con, because it's Georgia World Congress and it's just big. There's plenty of room. You're not overcrowded. When you're downtown for Dragon Con, you're crowded, but you know that. It's part of it. But that's kind of what we did over the weekend. That's what I did over the weekend. I said that I was going to do some voice work practice here, and I do. I think that I could do comedian Dusty Slay. And I'm just going to play a little bit of his stand-up. And I want to workshop this. I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks. So let's see. Oh, why is the music still playing? I have two YouTube things open. Sounded like Creedence.
I'm not even making that up.
I'm not even making that up.
And I wasn't looking.
And I wasn't looking.
You know, but sometimes.
But sometimes.
There, you know?
That's not how it works, Alan Jackson. I think if I'd listened to him, like his podcast, I'd be able to get that, I think. You know, I worked at Home Depot. Yeah, I think I could probably get that. I like Dusty Slay. I think he's very funny. I think he does good stand-up comedy. I think he's entertaining. I think he'd be very good on a TV show or something. And I think that, he doesn't really have that big of a Southern accent. He just sort of has an interesting way of talking. We're having a good time. Yeah, I'm stoked to be here. I'm pumped to be here. Yeah, we're having a good time. I think it works. I'm going to keep working on it. I'm going to keep working on it. Maybe someday he'll be on here. By the way, I interviewed Dusty Slay a couple of weeks ago on the Popcast. And if you haven't heard it yet, you can find it in the Popcast podcast feed. So anyway, I want to say congratulations to the Chiefs who beat the 49ers in the Taylor Swift Bowl. All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.
The following advertisement contains celebrity impersonations and is not an endorsement.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro.
I think it's pronounced Gyro, Michael.
Gyro.
Whatever.
Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the winter season with over 40 beers in cans and bottles, and 16 beers on tap, with 12 of those being local Georgia and Southeast craft beers.
Their current featured selection is Jekyll Brewing's Cooter Brown Ale. This brown ale is the perfect wintertime brew with its silky smooth body, sweet caramel and chocolate aroma, and a slight refreshingly bitter finish.
They once again would like to thank all the radios and fans for listening to this podcast. Stop by the restaurant and mention you heard about them on Radio Labyrinth for a free dessert.
By the way, their food truck is on hiatus until late February due to winter weather, but there are always exceptions. And if you want to reserve a specific date, please contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228.
And don't forget, they're open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and noon to 9 p.m. on Saturday. They're closed on Sundays.
That's nice.
There's a legend behind Cooter Brown Ale. Cooter Brown supposedly lived on the line which divided the North and South during the American Civil War, making him eligible for military draft by either side. He had family on both sides of the line, so he did not want to fight in the war. He decided to get drunk and stay drunk for the duration of the war so that he would be seen as useless for military purposes and would not be drafted. Ever since, colloquial and proverbial ratings of drunkenness have been benchmarked against the legendary drinker, as drunk as Cooter Brown or drunker than Cooter Brown. Yeah, we've all been there, boy.
Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Reaper Printing of Athens, in Athens, Georgia. Since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.